We are very serious baseballians, serious, really, really serious baseballians, serious. We are very serious baseballians, serious, really, really serious baseballians.
Hello and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. I am your host, John McGee, and I've got currently two of my best friends here. We might have one of my least favourite people also joining us at some point during this podcast. Those of you who've been listening to our podcasts over the course of this season know the ongoing saga of Tom trying to get his girls to go to sleep so he can join podcasts while we're here again. So we've just been spent the last 5 minutes trying to work out how we record this podcast in case Tom arrives. Anyway, you don't need to know any of that. What we do have is two mega brains. I've got Russell Easom. How are you? It's been a while. I've not been on a podcast in a while, so good to see you.
Yeah, well, whenever I've been free, I'm saying pod, no one else has been free. And whenever you guys have managed to do it, I've been playing baseball myself. Shock of horrors.
Yeah, you have a social life now, Russell. It's usually just me and you. Just sat, who's basically a lock guarantee? It's me and you. But yeah, very good that these passing ships have managed to reacquaint themselves this evening. And likewise, a man who's also been very busy, but for rather less sociable reasons. Good to have the brain of Britain baseball edition, Darius Austin. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm pleased about my choice to not have children, because otherwise I might be in Tom's position. Who knows?
Yeah, well, look, let's see if he turns up. We had quite a nice segment planned for this podcast that I know that his two girls have been helping him with. So fingers crossed we get to that this evening. If not, we'll bring it to you next week and you'll have to wait with bated breath to find out what it was. We're going to spend most of the podcast this evening. Like, if you listen to our podcast from last week, you know that Rob, Ben and I had a chat about which teams were hot and which teams are cold and whether we thought that that was sustainable, whether these were real. We're going to do a similar thing with players this evening. Talk about some players who've got off to a hot start and some who very much haven't, and opine on whether or not we think those are real. But there's a couple of orders of business that we've got to get through. So first of which is the LA Angels new Lucky Charm, which is in the form of our good friend Nick Wright, better known as LA Angels UK. He's had a lovely old week, Russell, hasn't he? I mean, have you ever seen anything like this? Have you ever known of any other British fan who's had a streak like Nick has had this week out in Anaheim?
I don't think so. I think you could probably watch any four games from any four teams for about like 10 years and probably not get a streak. Like Nick did, to have the Trout kind of like home run record, to get Ohtani's grand slam, a walk-off win, no hitter, included a switch hit home run. So Rendon now has a 5,000 OPS left-handed. It's like, no, like it's completely and utterly amazing. Like, you couldn't happen to a nicer guy and all of that, but it's just a sign of the times for the Angels, man. It's like, oh, is this going to be the year when I finally kind of downgraded the Angels slightly that they're actually going to be like a superstar team?
Darius, I think you should take some credit for this, because we finally managed to get you into a common sense position on the Angels after like, what, 4 years of they're amazing, they're going to be great. This year you brought the cynicism and the rest is history. Nick had a game that not even, you know, a Dan Zimborski projection model wouldn't even turn that run up in one of his projections over the course of a single season. I think you should be taking more credit than you have. As usual, you're being unassuming.
I am modest as ever. I think we can split the credit 50-50, me and Nick, if the Angels make the playoffs, win the World Series this year. I think that's probably fair. I've seen a lot of Angels fans tweeting him saying, please come back immediately, because things have been going rather well. But yeah, I mean, you know, we've always said this, that if the stars actually stay healthy and, you know, are on the field together at the same time, then the Angels might actually be pretty good. And hey, look what's happening. So
I mean, yeah. They also have a bullpen that's functioning
a real bullpen, which is helping. Yeah, that's quite good. Something they haven't had so much over the last few years.
Yeah, and as Russell's already said, absolutely delighted for Nick to have a great week. He is genuinely one of the nicest people in the British baseball community. This lucky streak couldn't happen to a nicer person. But Russell, just before we move on from this, you got to talk about the no hitter. Is it a real no hitter if it's that bad?
it's a really weird one, because if you look at it from a purely kind of like analytical perspective, which we can with StatCast, you can basically take the expected batting average of every ball that's put in play. And there were 25 balls put in that play because Detmers only had 2 strikeouts in the entire game. 1 walk, 1 reach on error, and a ground out double play. So you're like, okay, there's only been like 30 no-hitters like that out of the 300 that we've had in all of the history of baseball that have had that little number of strikeouts. And there's only been 2 like that in the last 40 years with a hat tip to Francisco Laureano in 2011. But it's one of those ones where if you watched all of those outs, none of them really screamed like, oh, that was a robbery. Like there was no, like, there wasn't really an amazing play. But what actually really stands out is Brandon Marsh. He basically got Ramirez out for the Tampa Bay Rays 3 times in that game. And he ranged from there was about 140 foot range between the one that he caught forward and the one that he caught on the wall. And basically, that was probably the reason why it was a no-hitter. If that was Joe Adell, who had been playing a lot of the games in in left field for the Angels earlier on the season before he'd gone there, he wouldn't have got close to that little flare. There was the one that Walsh went back and then kind of like ran in on, and Marsh went back and then kind of ran in on and got it clean. But Adell would have got absolutely no-hitter. That was an almost guaranteed little flare, a bloop that kind of just goes down for a single. But when you have somebody who probably should be your center fielder playing in left field, you have the defense that helps for the no hitter.
Yeah, and look, we'd all like to be there for a no hitter. It wouldn't matter which one it was. I think we're all just a little bit jealous our dear friend and his outrageously outstanding week. He's currently at the North London Derby, so let's see if he brings his lucky streak over to the UK. Darius is very much hoping so. Cool. Let's move on to the next order of business. I just want to have a brief stop in Cleveland, Russell. We're going to talk quite a lot about Cleveland. It's been a week, hasn't it? I mean, should we talk about Josh Naylor? That's got to be one of the most intensely electric performances in the 9th inning of all time, has it not, Russell?
Yeah, if you're hitting a grand slam to tie the game off what is regarded as the best reliever in baseball for probably the last 3 or 4 years, you know you've done something good. Like, just that in itself is Hendricks doesn't give up many home runs at all. I think I saw a stat that before that game, the Chicago relievers had given up 5 home runs in all of the games previously. They gave up 3 home runs in that game alone. So, and Naylor got 2 of them. He then had the chance to come back up in a couple of innings later and then hit a 3-run bomb. And after, I think, the first time, he kind of shushed the crowd a little bit when he kind of came in. I don't know if he was getting a little bit more jip when he went up to bat next time. But when he returned to the dugout after putting Cleveland ahead, he kind of lost his stuff, really, and just had the most singularly joyful / aggressive celebration I think ever seen anybody ever have. And I was genuinely worried that when he threw the helmet down in the dugout that it was going to bounce up and smack him or somebody else in the face. But it's just one of those moments where you're kind of, even as a fan of that team, it's amazing. And I think probably as a neutral, it's probably a good thing as well. But if you're a White Sox fan, I think you've got a player to hate for life.
Yeah. I've never seen a more purple baseball player in my entire life. It was amazing. And obviously the Guardians and the White Sox have missed a couple of games towards the end of this week due to COVID in the Cleveland clubhouse. And I initially misread it. I thought it was the day after the Naylor shenanigans. And I sort of typed out the tweet of, are we sure that they aren't just hungover, until realizing they may still have just been hungover 36 hours later. Darius, have you ever seen anything like that helmet spike? It was outrageously fun.
It was the level of emotion that we rarely, if ever, see on a baseball field, wasn't it? Incredible. Yeah, I'm really pleased for Naylor. He's always been incredibly talented, I think, and has had some terrible luck with injuries. Just hits the ball tremendously hard. And it's great to see him actually on the field and playing like I think a lot of people hoped he would over the years. But yeah, in addition to that, just his level of exuberance, I think is fantastic for the game. And hopefully we get more players showing a bit more like that.
Outstanding. Well done, Josh Naylor. The other thing in Cleveland is, obviously Cleveland, Music City, home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that is something that the Guardians do steer into quite a lot, which is fun. And their latest collaboration is a rather extraordinary promotion for Akron, Ohio. So near to Cleveland natives and multi-Grammy award-winning and multi-platinum selling rock and roll band, the Black Keys. Russell, if anyone hasn't seen this promo, they should probably go and have a look at it because it's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
It is, and for me personally, it's bringing together two things that I both very much enjoy: Jose Ramirez and the Black Keys. Like, honestly, like you wonder sometimes, like when celebrities get involved in clubs, you never quite certain what's going to happen. Like when Cleveland had Tom Hanks doing the voiceover for their "We Are Being Like the Guardians," you're kind of just like, yeah. I personally didn't know that he was a Cleveland fan before that, and kind of very much felt like that's the good corporate touch you can go with. But when you're kind of like throwing down the Black Keys, that's a little bit more kind of like, that's a little bit more in the, obviously they are a massive band or whatever, but it still just kind of like feels that the fun factor kind of goes up to a higher as I'm concerned.
I'm just pleased it's Jose getting down home there, you know, with you know, each of the big stogie just taken away there. I mean, one would anticipate that it would be, I don't know, Josh Naylor or Miles Straw. The fact it is Jose himself betwixt the two Black Keys brings it that air of menace, flair and brilliance as far as I'm concerned.
It's beautifully ludicrous. You could kind of just, he'd walk down, I'd just love to like go down the street and have walk across those three gentlemen as they are kind of like dressed right there. I think you'd be wondering what sort of kind of like convention or lunatic asylum they've just kind of like wandered out of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that that'll send a fellow AL Central fan Jack White's pulse racing, given he is a quite outspoken detractor of the Black Keys. I don't think that'll have made him any happier as the "I'm the rock and roll man who does the baseball stuff in the AL Central." It's going to make him even madder. Anyway, enough of that, enough rock and roll. I've already made a Seattle Mariners can pun on our Twitter today. They got three likes and one response. I was, someone called it a very deep cut. That's what we're here for. Let's talk about some baseball players. So I don't know, how do you want to do this? Do you want to do this as a draft? Because I sort of sent round some potential candidates for us to talk about, some good, some bad, or should we go off that?
Might as well start in Cleveland. Like there's some good and some bad.
Go on. Do you want to just sort of pick someone who you want to talk about, Russell, and we can have a conversation about whether this is real or not?
Let's go with Franmil Reyes.
I mean, he's just bad, isn't he?
He currently has a 305 slugging, and I think he's at it's like 557 OPS. I'm like, this is like awful. Cleveland are like the fourth best hitting team in all of baseball, and Franmil Reyes is having absolutely nothing to do with this. It's like, you told me that at the start of the season, I would have called you an absolute idiot and a moron. And like, there's no way that like Cleveland would be putting these numbers up without Franmil being involved at all. But he hasn't. He's just done like absolutely nothing with the bat. He's got a K rate that's up in the 40s. So this is it's a worrying one because he also has a 352 BABIP. So when he puts the ball in play, he's been kind of getting lucky.
Is there any suggestions as to why this might be happening?
You can look at some of the stats, just like he's swinging. Like, I think he's got a bit frustrated and he's basically like going at stuff a little bit more. This is one of those ones where they kind of, sometimes you need to say to them, like, just take like 3 or 4 games off, center yourself and go back and kind of like get out there. But I think every time like he's in the lineup and just being the unproductive one, he gets more frustrated and he's just swinging at pitches that are outside the zone. And he's got to stop doing it.
I've just rather amusingly, I couldn't get from, I have Fangraphs open, but I couldn't get from Reyes to come up. So I typed Franmil R into Google and it tried to autocomplete as Franmil Road Hornchurch. And that's where we're going to be going for our Christmas party this year. anyway, I digress. Darius, is there anyone that you want to talk about particularly, good or bad, in terms of analysing whether or not this is real?
I think we should talk about Nestor Cortes personally.
Yes, I think we should.
I think is 100% legit. I was intrigued by Cortes last year because he did all this, you know, sort of bit Cueto style trickery. There was a lot of hesitation, a lot of variation in his delivery, very deceptive. But this year, he just kind of looks dominant generally. I don't think he's like smoke and mirrors, even though he's throwing low 90s. It just appears to have a really great arsenal. He's got excellent command. As Ben, I think, pointed out earlier this week, he's rapidly become the most likable Yankee of all time already. it just seems like a really fun pitcher. And I think it's kind of refreshing in the age of, 95 plus miles per hour heat that a guy like this is succeeding so well. I'm all in on Nestor Cortes.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. You know, look, this guy was drafted in the 36th round. It's just absolutely ludicrous. He's nearly 28 years old. How is he doing this? I just don't understand it. It's incredible. You know, 234 FIP. It's absolutely mad. And his ex-FIP is 269. So, you know, he's not outperforming his peripherals. This is the pitcher that he is, with all of this balance and trickery. So yeah, I think we're saying that Nestor Cortes is legitimately this pitcher these days, are we not?
And what's remarkable that he is on a team that has won 20 plus games and only lost 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And he has one win. I know the first couple of games he didn't get to 5 innings because they were stretching him out. But like in some of the stellar performances that he's had since, like he has one win. So he's just like, is he becoming the Yankees DeGrom? Where he's going to be the one that basically pitches well and just gets no support from the team.
I've got a public service announcement. We've got someone trying to enter the room, some spyware coming here. So I'd probably better deal with that. Right. So whilst that sorts itself out,
Your nomination, John.
It's my nomination. He's going to speak as soon as he logs on. So I'm just going to... There he is. Oh, my God. Manic face. Dear Lord. We're just doing the bit that you're going to contribute nothing to. So it's all right.
Can I go and switch the lighting? The podcast. So I look a bit strange. Yeah, the podcast.
The podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Pringle has arrived. That's what's happening there. So we've just talked about Nestor Cortes. Is that a player you've heard of?
Have you heard of Nestor Cortes, Tom?
Yes.
There you go. Thank good.
Who does he play for, Tom?
Who does Nestor Cortes
reference?
Who does he play for?
Sorry, John, can you say that again? Come
on. Who does he
plays for the New York Yankees, John.
There you go.
And he is a pitcher. Have you missed me?
it's a good job we're doing a silly bit at the end, isn't it?
Sorry, listeners. I bet you're all like, oh, good, he's not here.
Can we talk about a serious one? I mean, this, I have to be honest, this is not a player that I've watched an awful lot this season. So when I was scouting around in the bin of baseball, in the dumpster fire part of the Fangraphs batting leaderboards, and I found someone with an 18 WRC+, I did not expect that the name next to that would be former batting title winner and cornerstone of the Kansas City Royals, Whit Merrifield.
No, he's not. That's great.
Yes, he is, Tom.
He is, oh, he word. Is the worst hitter in baseball.
Oh my the worst God. Qualified hitter in baseball.
The worst qualified hitter. Yes, there are worse than there are worse than him. He's the worst qualified hitter in baseball. So, for those of you who have not been following closely, I'll just read some of the stats for Mr. Merrifield in a moment. This is great audio. Not only we've got Tom turning up the middle, I'm currently waiting for Fangraphs to load. So yeah, go on, Russell. You take over from me. What's been happening with Whit Merrifield, for those who've not been following? He's been total shite.
it's kind of like you have that moment where you just weak contact coming into it, because he's striking out 13% of the time, which I guess for him is a little bit higher than, actually this is kind of like it's about bang average of what we're expecting. So he's got basically a 173 BABIP. So he's getting a bit unlucky that with the balls that he's put in play, but then it's also he's not putting the ball in play with particularly like amazing quality. So he's not his ex batting average would put him into like the top kind of like percentile. So he is kind of getting a little bit lucky there. He should be at like 260 instead of like the was he like 170 like 160. So he is like he's getting a bit unlucky, but he's not also Whit Merrifield. Like normally, like Whit Merrifield should be in like the 280s, 290s sort of territory, even on like XBA, which he would be then a little bit better than because of his speed. So,
and he's just not walking at all either. So it looks like he's kind of, his eyes maybe gone a little bit. He's 5% walk rate, which is, you know, for a guy who's a batting champ, not what one anticipates. So yeah, extraordinary numbers from Mr. Whit Merrifield. He does feel like I mean, he is older than you think, right? He's nearly 33 now. Is this Whit Merrifield telling off Darius, or has he just had an absolute stinker of a start to the season?
I think he's been pretty unlucky, but I also think he's probably the kind of player who's going to be particularly hurt by a less juicy baseball. He's, you know, not a big power guy, and he's found his way into decent home run titles over the years. But you've kind of seen that slow down, especially last year. He already only hit 10, and that was with a pretty favorable ball. And, you know, I think he's maybe, yeah, sliding into empty-ish kind of batting average territory. And I think, you know, we said a few years ago when there was talk of, you know, Tim's being interested in training for him and the Royals seemed pretty keen to just keep him. And you were like, what is the end game for them here? Like, are they not just going to have a 33, 34-year-old with Merrifield on their team who's not going to be worth anything anymore? And I think we're ending that way.
Yeah, and look, he's filling a gap in the outfield now, right? He's not good enough to play in their admittedly very strong defensive infield now. So he's playing in right field, which is by far and away not his most coveted position. So yeah, interesting to see how that goes, to see whether he really is a busted flush.
Yeah, he got a home run and three hits last night, which I think basically was his first home run for the season. And I think he got like increased his hits by like 25% or 20%.
Goodness. I wish I'd just
last night. So.
I wish I'd seen his WRC plus yesterday.
It's not quite in the Travis Shaw territory, but.
No, ooh. I mean, goodness me. I wasn't Travis Shaw's WRC plus minus 100.
glorious minus 100.
Minus, he did not get a hit or register a single walk. I fear that Travis Shaw's major league career is at this point over. The next place that you see him playing will be alongside Devin Marrero, Sam Travis, and Rusney Castillo at the Long Island Ducks.
John texts me about it so often. He texts me lineups going, look at this lineup, it's brilliant. I'm like, I want a Rusney jersey.
We've got to get Travis Shaw down there, bringing the John Farrell Red Sox vibes down to Long Island. Tom, is there anyone that you want to talk about? Are there any players who I suggested who you'd heard of?
None that you suggested, but I just looked at the WRC plus, sorry, the WAR leaderboard, and I can't believe, well, I can believe who's top, but I can't believe who's seventh. Can anyone guess who it is without looking at it?
I think I know this. I think we probably all have it open, but is it Jazz Chisholm?
It's not. No, he's sixth.
There you go.
It's It's his friend, our friend from the San Diego Padres, Eric Hosmer.
Oh, Hosmer, yeah, of course.
Where has this come from? But then, look,
can you explain? Can you his BABIP is unbelievable, but can you explain what's been happening with Eric Hosmer?
Well, essentially, by the looks of it, Trent Grisham and Eric Hosmer have just switched bodies because Trent Grisham is now doing soft contact and can't do anything, and Eric Hosmer is blasting everything everywhere. So, no, I can't explain it.
Yeah,
Hosmer's Eric Hosmer is also 7th in WAR, but I'd like to point out that Jeremy Peña is 8th in WAR. Not that I'm taking credit for that.
I think it's very early. Like Mike Trout's 2nd, isn't he? And they, what do they say, ineffectively wild? When Mike Trout's top, then you know the baseball season.
Yeah, Machado's just got to cool off a little bit, and then Trout will be top.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's got a 433 BABIP.
Trout's top of the AL, so I think we can say it's like good.
No, you can't. It's got to be all of baseball.
Is there any, Tom? You've obviously watched more Padres broadcasts than us, probably about two. Is there anything coming out from, you know, Bob Melvin or anyone about what, if any, adjustments Hosmer's made, or is it just
I haven't fluking heard anything? It? Yeah, I've not heard anything. I've not read anything. And Hosmer's very much been the case of I'm not going to start doing the Statcast revolution. I'm not going to be doing launch angle and all of that. But something's happened, and he's suddenly now hitting the ball quite well. Yeah, his BABIP's up. But I don't know what it is with Hosmer. Like, he goes through, as we've seen in his career, he goes through years where he's just dire. And then all of a sudden, he'll have one great year, and everyone loves him again. He always talks about what a great teammate he is and brilliant in the clubhouse, all the intangibles. But essentially, it's Hosmer and Machado at the minute in the Padres, isn't it? And everyone else just can't hit the ball.
Well, given that we've already mentioned him, should we talk about... a man who seems to be squaring up the ball better than anyone in baseball, whose name is not Mike Trout and Aaron Judge, Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah.
This has been a real breakout for the Bahamian baby boy, hasn't it, Darius?
Yeah, we knew he had the tools. He's obviously an incredibly exciting player. But yeah, he looks great. The strikeouts are way down. He's just so explosive at the plate. The interesting thing, and you know, something I think Marlins fans have been talking about a lot, is that Mattingly's been pretty keen on keeping him away from left-handed pitching so far. He hasn't hit them very well, but I think he's had something like, he's had 16 plate appearances against lefties so far.
Wow.
So it's interesting. You know, I probably wouldn't do it myself. You know, you've got a 24-year-old playing like this. I think just let him go. See what he can do. I'm sure the Marlins think that they are going to be in the mix this year. But I think you just got to let him go out there and learn, because I don't think he's going to be a platoon bat for his career. So let him face those left-handers, because what he's doing to righties, I think, you know, he's more than talented enough to figure it out, even if he goes through a few struggles.
John, Russell and Darius probably have, but have you looked at his baseball savant page, like the percentile rankings for Jazz?
Fire, yeah.
It's insane. Like, his hard hit, 86%. Expected slugging, 96%. Exit velocity, 67%. You don't expect this from this guy. He's not huge, is he? Average exit velocity, 82%.
No, you expect him. You look at him and you think, and you see him on the field, you think this is kind of like your Christian Pache Whit Merrifield. He's going to get high batting average because he's really fast.
Yeah.
Which he also is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Sprint speed 96.
Yes. What is Mattingly doing, Russell? It seems extraordinary when you've got a superstar like that. Sure, he does have one flaw, and his is hitting left-handed pitching, but surely he's better than their next best option.
It's really a weird one, because if you remember back to the start of the season, he was batting him 7th, I think, to the start of the season for a good couple of weeks before he finally got put onto the leadoff spot. So they are definitely like trying to protect him, a bit of like gloves on, like sort of approach going on here. So you don't know, kind of like, are they already kind of like internally thinking we're not going to do it this year, and they're kind of like just kind of like putting him in the best position? But you don't want to platoon potentially one of your best players from like a young age, so he doesn't even stand a chance of getting better. Like, he's not going to get better at left-handed hitters if you don't basically give him the game time to do it. So yeah, like, the Mets are kind of running away with that league, but we know the Mets, and they'll Mets at some point. So Like,
well, the rest of the league sucks. So, you know.
Yeah, they're only one game behind the Braves and tied with the Phillies. So by the time that the inevitable Mets implode happen, if they manage to stay with the other ones, then they're in the chance, especially with like these extended kind of like playoff systems. So I don't see it being useful for the long haul to do this.
Let the Jazz play. That's it, Don. Let the Jazz play.
Jazz on.
Jazz on. Who else do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about a good player or a bad player, Tom?
Where's your list? Sorry.
It doesn't matter. Just say good player or bad player. You don't know which is which.
Bad player.
Bad player. Okay, let's talk about Jose Berríos. He sucks. this guy went for a nice trade package over to Toronto. He was their opening day starter, and he is just absolutely rotten. Like, it's just not nice to watch. Has anyone got any idea what's been going on there? He just seems to not be able to be. His control is gone. He can't miss bats. Yeah, he's just not putting it all together whatsoever at the moment, is he?
Yeah, I think kind of like simplistically, kind of like there doesn't seem to be kind of like too much like in loss of velocity or in any of that regard. He slightly changes pitch mix, so he's kind of like throwing his four seam and like a little bit more, but nothing kind of like that really kind of just stands out that kind of like you would just say like he's doing this like definitively different, but he's just not getting the results that like he used to. So maybe kind of like he's been slightly found out. For a lot of these players, it takes a bit of time for players to kind of get an idea of like what's going on. But it's, to me, honestly, kind of like if anything, kind of like some of this stuff is like it's getting like more movement than it has before, which could be that it's giving people the chance to lay off some of the stuff that's kind of like off the plates. But it's shocking. He is, if you want to look at like a Statcast page that has like a lot of blue, like go look at Berríos' one, because apart from his walk rate, like like they maybe like his fastball velocity, I would imagine everything else is like way left.
Yeah, it's not looking. I'm literally looking at it now. And listen to this, John. This is going to sound like really good analysis. He is throwing his 14 fastball more than ever before in his career. How good does that sound? It sounds like I've really looked into it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, hasn't he usually been a two-seam changeup guy and a slider? You know, so maybe that's his problem. Yeah, there you go. Jose Berríos. I mean, one hopes for Toronto's sake that he manages correctly. On the other hand, Kevin Gausman has been excellent. He is as advertised for the San Francisco Giants. And Alek Manoah has been good too, but they've been sort of holding it together when they were expecting Berríos to be a big part of the charge this year. And Hyunjin Ryu's not had a great start to the season either. Should we look at something a little more joyful? Dylan Cease, who is swiftly becoming Pitching Ninja's favourite pitcher, and certainly one of mine, looking very like Joey Mellows on the mound there, rocking the tash. That curveball's just extraordinary. I don't think I've ever seen it. Like, look, you know, a pretty rainbow curveball is a beautiful thing to watch. But the ones he's throwing, where he looks like he's throwing it to the backstop and then it lands in the top of the zone, I don't think I've seen anything like that before, Darius. Have you? Just, and where has this come from? Who is this dude? They've got, you know, it's Ethan Katz, the pitching whisperer, has got another one out in Chicago, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of fantasy guys have kind of been high on Cease for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, fantasy's just not real though, is it, mate?
Fantasy's not real. The stuff is filthy. It has been filthy for a long time. And I get Cease was always kind of like, could he like find that balance? Could he just shift it enough that, you know, he could get the strikeouts and just not walk enough guys that it would actually all work? And this year, he seems to have found it so far. Yeah, he's got unbelievable stuff to watch. The slider's great. The curveball, as you said, is incredible. This stuff doesn't really look like it ought to be possible sometimes, but it is. He's doing it regularly. And, you know, he's also sitting 96 on the fastball, which helps. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see if he can sort of maintain this balance all year. But when it comes to filthy pitches, you're not going to find many better starting pitches in baseball.
Yeah, for me, who bases my entire Cy Young predictions on very good pitching ninja pitches. He's definitely the front runner for the ASI Young. Have we got time to do maybe a couple more, one on either side of the ball before we do our next bit that we've got Tom here for?
Just literally in there.
Yeah. Russell, take your pick of Cleveland pitchers. Which of the bad ones do you want to talk about? Because they've all not been very good, but it's all relative.
Yeah, I guess we've got to go to like Shane Bieber there, because it's like whatever was kind of like working before kind of isn't working anymore. It feels so simplistic to just be like, when you are a control pitcher and you are so reliant on getting people to swing and miss just in and around like the zone.
All right, Andy Townsend. Like,
yeah.
in and around the zone.
When you're so reliant on that, and you're so reliant on people kind of not getting the curveball when it's the fastball, and not getting like the fastball when it's the curveball, or thinking kind of like which way they're round, people just aren't like chasing as much as they used to. So he's not kind of like, they're not swinging and missing at things like in like the in and around like the edge of the zone, which is where he was getting a lot of his value kind of like beforehand. And so, yeah, it's not been a good start. I don't think anything is that worrying from a velocity point of view. There's a little bit less kind of like movement in on some of the pitches, but the only thing is like he's stopped throwing his curveball and he started to throw his cutter and his slider more. So maybe like the pitch mix is not working, and it's something that can be kind of either like reverted back or can go into it. But he's kind of throwing a bit more like he did in 2020 compared to how he did like in 2021. So a lot of these things kind of like you don't really kind of stand out there and go like, it's amazing. When you kind of look at him and I see it's kind of, he's starting to look more Greinke-esque, and that's not like necessarily like a good thing. It's like he's playing around with those edges and he's getting punished right now. But I imagine that give this like 3 or 4 weeks and we could be just saying that he's just had like 6 or 7 games where he's where he's been really good. But
I've just discovered the Statcast website, but he's lost 2 mile an hour on his fastball, so it's a significant amount he's dropped already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he was never reliant on that like in the first place. No. he wasn't the person that pitches at speed, but you're right in it's getting punished like when it didn't used to. And so who knows? I trust the ability of like the Cleveland like staff to kind of like know what they're doing. But if you kind of put it into context, like Bieber has basically lost fastball velocity for pretty much every year that he's played. So who knows? But it's not good. And Cleveland's position as an above 500 team is not particularly sustainable when they don't really have a good starter.
No, indeed not. Although it's been a pleasing start to the season for them. They've been rather better than anyone anticipated. And, you know, fingers crossed. As Ben said last week, rather optimistically, if we're doing this well when our two best players aren't playing very well, it can only go up. So, you know, you could take the same maxim and apply, you know, I think he was talking about Germán Márquez and Chris Bryant. You could apply it to Shane Bieber and, well, Zach Plesac's not your next best player, but, you know, he's not one of your worst. Darius?
It's like when Tristan McKenzie is your best starter, which is not saying bad things against McKenzie, and, like, Travis Steven is kind of potentially our best reliever, who was the bloody Rule 5 draft pick last year. You're a little bit worried about what's going to happen next.
Yeah, very much so. But, look, if we want to talk about sub-story teams, we can talk about mine, but we're not going to. I did that last week and I don't want to do it anymore. Some of the stats are absolutely extraordinary. Darius, I do want to talk about an Arizona Diamondbacks outfielder who is not Ketel Marte. Can you explain Dalton Varsho to me? Because I don't get it. This guy was like a sort of second string catcher about 12 months ago. And he's in the top 10 on the Fangraphs batting leaderboard. What on earth is going on?
Arizona seems to be doing this thing because they've got Cooper Hummel as well, who's also a catcher and an outfielder. I guess they've just been drafting and acquiring for these tremendously athletic guys who can do a lot of things. Varsho is also really fast. He is an incredible athlete. I'm not sure I'd buy quite the extent to which he's hitting so far, but I think he is a good hitter. I think, you know, he might be one of these guys who's better off not catching a bunch, because catching is hard and it's bad for your health. And I personally would maybe just prefer that he plays the outfield a lot, which he has mostly been doing for them, to be fair. I think he's only had a handful of games behind the plate so far. And it seems to be treating him well. It's kind of fun to have a catcher who runs, but it never really lasts. Even with the guys, you know, you see like JT Realmuto, sooner or later, the body just starts to let you down. So yeah, he's a fun player, athletic player. Diamondbacks have got a load of these guys now. Alec Thomas just came up as well. He's going to be a lot of fun. And to be honest, their offense really needs the help. So
yeah, it's nice to see the Diamondbacks having some fun players, because for such a long time, it literally has been Ketel Marte and a bunch of dorks. So it's nice to have Cooper Hormel. It's nice to have Dalton Varsho. It's nice to have Alec Thomas. It's nice to see Merrill Kelly continuing to be the bright spot on the pitching side of the ball as well. It's enough of that, though. It's enough sensible baseball chat. We don't bring Tom Pringle on here to have his analysis, his Statcast analysis. Good as it was, Tom, I was really proud of you.
So patronising. Oh, pat me on the head. Go on, do it on Zoom. Pat me on the head.
Yeah, he's right. He's directly below me on the Zoom, so I'm literally patting him on the head there.
Oh, bless.
So we saw a new fashion style in baseball this week. First time ever, I believe. Mike Clevenger's pigtails on the mound on his return to the San Diego Padres, which was delightful.
I'm mad keen for it.
Brought to mind, to me anyway, because this is how my brain works, both Little Red Riding Hood and Pocahontas, and indeed, as several people pointed out, the little girl from the Wendy's logo. So we thought we'd have a bit of fun with that. Carry it on, Mike. Absolutely loved it. But we sort of, given that these are all, you know, fictional children's characters, even the Wendy's girl, she's not real. We wondered if we could have a bit of conversation about which fictional children's characters we would like to see in and around, to borrow from Russell and Andy Townsend, a baseball field organization, and what kind of role we'd like them to play. You know, this could be any role, right? Could be on the field, could be off the field. But I want some baseball analysis. So, Tom, I'm really pleased you've been looking at Statcast. I know you've been doing quite a lot of research on this with your role, Olivia and Isabel. So, do you want to go first? Who do you want on the field, and what are you going to do?
Well, do you want me to do the girls' picks? Because I actually got them to make some picks, and they did pick some people.
Yeah, go for it.
So Olivia took a lot of convincing. She wanted to go for Bunga from the cartoon The Lion Guard, which is not really, I don't think many people are familiar with. So
no.
I don't think she really understood the rules. So I kind of steered her a different direction. And in the end, she went for Buzz Lightyear. And she wants Buzz Lightyear to play in the outfield so he can jump up, use his rocket pack and his wings to catch all the balls and stop them from going out for home runs. I was quite impressed with thinking that. And then Isabel, all on her own, bearing in mind she's 4, said, I want to pick Sonic and he will be the one that comes on and runs. And I was like, brilliant. She's managed to pick Sonic as a pinch runner, which I think is fantastic.
So they've stolen my choices.
Oh, mate, I'm so sorry.
Have you literally spent the last 4 years talking to your daughter about Terrence Gore?
It seems like it, doesn't it? Because I said, I imagine he's going to be terrible with a bat, but I think he's going to be pretty good at running. Clearly,
absolute pool noodle.
Yeah, just his arms are so tiny. Like, there's no chance he's going to do it.
It'd be better than Tails, though. Tails be like Christian Pasha. Very good in the outfield, just no power.
I know you're not a massive fan of the Sonic films, but if you watch Sonic 2 at the end, they play baseball at the end of Sonic 2. I won't spoil it, but Tails is on the mound. So that's really? Where his skills lie, yeah.
Wow.
Sonic's in the outfield, obviously. Got a lot of ground to cover.
Standard. Anyone want to Did you have any of your own? Or are you gonna save your own for later?
Well, I was kind of torn, really. Now, for me, I was going to pick someone like Baymax from Big Hero 6 as a big slugger to walk up to the plate. Obviously, he's got his big gloves as well. You could smash the ball with those. But then I think my spirit animal and my spirit Pokemon is Snorlax, who loves to sleep and eat. So I'm going to take Snorlax, and he's going to be my catcher, just there behind the plate. Probably not even catching or awake, just the ball hitting him in the belly and staying still. Bit like Yadier Molina, he's very sticky chest guard.
I mean, he's probably about as fast as Yadier Molina these That's days. True, see him legging out that double yesterday. And he's going in slow motion. Darius, have Olivia and Isabel literally taken yours? I mean, I'm guessing that Sonic would have been there for you, because we know you're a big Sonic.
Sonic was obviously under consideration as, pinch runner at the very least. Yeah. Not really much of a spot for pinch runners in baseball these days. But then again, everybody does sign Terrence Gore every year. So I guess they think there is. And Sonic presumably would have a higher success rate than Terrence Gore as well. Interesting hypothetical. Probably couldn't throw him out, could you? So
no.
It would be pretty difficult.
It'd be rubbish, wouldn't it? Anything to the outfield, it's like he's trying to... As he then runs back to first base to get ready to go for it, I'm like, that fly out to the outfield.
Like, Anfield would have to all the basically figure out how to ban him from the game, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
There'd be no extra size bases for Sonic. They'd literally have to like unplug them and put the little ones back in.
maybe he has to run the entire field, like all the way to the wall and all the way back round. That's the only way they can do it.
Someone should write an email to Theo Epstein about this. I've thought of a hypothetical, Theo, that you may want to consider when you're thinking about your big bases in low A, mate. What if the Baltimore Orioles sign Sonic the Hedgehog? Sonic
the Hedgehog.
The Sonic the Hedgehog. That's a double barreled surname. I don't know who wants to go next. I've got a few. Unsurprisingly, given that I kind of came up with this.
I had a couple. I'll go with the first thing that honestly came to my mind in all of this was, I think Donald Duck would make the perfect baseball manager. For that moment when someone gets ejected and he comes out and he's like, just like, I'm seeing like Terry Collins for that moment, you know, like you've got to.
That's excellent. It's like, that's
just seeing him coming out and losing his rag, like absolutely was going on. And as soon as I got that, I couldn't really get much past it. I was kind of thinking of like having obviously like Roadrunner in a fairly similar regard as Sonic, but I thought he'd have some sort of like trick pitching going on against like the Wile E. Coyote, so he just like, and somehow ends up there being like a wall somewhere like in the middle of the base path, which they end up running into instead of actually kind of getting home.
On the manager's bent, as soon as you said Donald Duck there, I just had like picture of like Elmer Fudd throwing his hat down as well. So maybe he'd be like, you know, the sort of old school sort of Connie Mack or Leo DeRocher style Elmer Fudd on the other side, in the other dugout alongside Donald Duck. That's absolutely brilliant. I don't think anyone's going to surpass that. Darius, do you want to say yours now, or were you just sort of stuck after you had Sonic?
No, I mean, I wrote a whole bit at Banish of the Pen once about all the Mario Kart characters and where you would play them in baseball lineup. So obviously, I have many thoughts about that. But there are also actually Mario baseball games, so that's probably not that interesting.
Your specialist subject.
My specialist subject. I put a lot of thought into it, obviously. So go and read that if you want. I figured like both Legolas and Gimli would be pretty entertaining. Like, you know, Legolas would obviously play center field. And Gimli would be like your first base DH slugger type. That would be quite fun.
I think that's a good battery. I think like having Legolas on the mound, Gimli would be on the plate. Yeah, kind of, definitely. Because like then them flowing. Two would just be arguing constantly as well. I like that.
I can see that. Like just shaking him off.
Called
every
a slider.
Yeah, I'd pay to watch that.
I absolutely love
that. Now I want to do a lineup of Lord of the Rings characters.
Oh, we could do. I think we should do a whole podcast of that. Let's bank that idea and let's do that another day.
Although, Tom, I'm not certain that you would have like Gimli as a catcher because you know you never toss to a dwarf.
Good. For anyone that hasn't seen Lord of the Rings, you will not understand that at
that
all.
That is absolutely shocking. I think that might be the low point in the history of this entire podcast.
Oh, I don't know. I've done some good ones.
I don't really know if I can follow that. I had quite a few, so I'll give you my sort of scattered thoughts. So I had a catcher as well. My catcher was Hey Dougie. It's just the right shape, isn't it?
Staying on brand. Good, John.
Is the right shape. He's, you know, he's got his backpack. He can keep all the baseballs.
I always find it difficult to tell how big Dougie is, right? Because he's always around tiny children animals. Is he supposed to be a giant, or is he a normal size and everybody else is tiny?
I think he is giant. So
this is like a Peppa Pig situation. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, because when the parents turn up, they're not as big as Dougie, are they? They're like just slightly bigger than their children.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dougie's going to be useful behind the plate. There's not going to be many pass balls whilst, and he's got plenty more in his bag anyway. Just very, very useful character to have around the field. I'm not going to do a whole lineup. At first base, I had. Do you remember Trapdoor? I was a big fan of that back in the day. Burke's at first base. Burke, first baseman. A lot. Yeah, it was just a big, hefty swing. Just
what's a fancy spider called? Was that Drut or Drat?
Drat, I think.
Was it Drat?
Yeah.
Drat in the outfield, just Drat's scampering not around.
I think it's Drut, wasn't it? Like, was it not Drat? Drat.
He's not. He's not getting in the team. I had a manager as well. My manager is a Joe Madden-esque character. Like, you know, really, really, really annoying and absolutely full of himself.
Is it Willy, you?
Willy Wonka.
Oh. Willy Wonka.
In the topper, in the duck.
stupid chocolate things everywhere. Over-engineered shite everywhere. Just scattering the dugout. Like, what are you doing?
Just coming up, exactly. Just coming up with like harebrained schemes, like Joe Madden with his bloody intentional walk with the bases loaded. You know, yeah. there you go. Carry on, Umpa Lumpers walking on the bases. Umpa Lumpa,
carrying the relief pitcher in out.
Somebody gets injured, they just roll them off the field.
Into a pit. Just something.
Which I could definitely see Sean Doolittle being carried in by Umpa Lumpers.
He would love that.
He would love it.
He'd lord it up, wouldn't he? Just tossing chocolate into the crowd as he walks as they go by.
What team would he manage? I think he'd manage the Orioles. Just a fucking annoying.
He needs to,
just an annoying franchise with that horrible duck face, he'd be well into it. I feel like I've gone with my best one. My other one was Danger Mouse. Just a shortstop who's very full of himself, sort of Jeter-esque. Not a lot of range, a lot of chirp on the field. Thinks he can come in and pitch the eighth. Horrible little shit.
Would he have Penfold at third base, just terrified at all times?
Yeah, Penfold at the hot corner, just getting balled out.
Is Penfold A-Rod in this analogy?
Oh, yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it? Danger Mouse just having a go at him all the time for fun.
I mean, as we all know, Penfold literally carries Danger Mouse. So yeah, I mean, the analogy scans 100%.
Go get Ben on the Photoshop for that one.
I was almost thinking of like him being more like Peter Brand or something like that for Penhold. Like, he's, you're just like little nerd in the back who's actually kind of like making everything tick over.
Yeah, he's like the Jonah Hill. That is Jonah Hill, Peter Brand. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm forgetting my Moneyball references there.
I just always think of him as Paul D. Podesta. I know that's not what he was called in the film, but I sort of know.
Well, I was going to say, isn't his name Paul D. Podesta? But of course, he was called Peter Brand in the film. Yeah, Penfold could be Peter Brand. I like it. Look, we'll ask people to hit us up with their own because they're legion. I don't think we've tapped in quite enough to the world of children's literature. Yeah, a famous five all on the bench. Tough wankers. guys, it's
where,
been...
Hold on, where would you... I mean, if we're talking about different books then, where are you going to put The Lion, The Witch and The Wardrobe? I mean, where are you putting The Wardrobe on the lineup?
I'm hiding The Wardrobe in left field, mate.
That was my thought also.
Yeah,
just hope the ball gets tipped into it.
Just doors open, waiting.
Lion. Witch would obviously be the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna have the witch in centre, broomstick, mate. I mean, I don't think the witch in the wardrobe has a broomstick.
See, I thought Buzz Lightyear is already out there with his jetpack. So
I think the Lion's a pitcher, mate. Bring in the heat.
Well, you're not gonna face up to the Lion, are you? If he hits you,
it's gonna be like, look. Imagine the Lion after a strikeout. It's gonna be absolutely mental.
Yeah.
Imagine that he's like that late inning reliever, and he comes out to like. I'll win, boy.
No, it'd be ironic if he came out to Eye of the Tiger. That'd be weird.
No, he'd come out to Roar by Katy Perry. dear mate. Look, I think there's maybe several more podcasts in this. I feel like we need to keep our powder dry. Well, I think we've tapped into a rich...
I feel a draft coming.
Oh, mate. Yes.
I am
so keen for this.
Let's do a draft. I think that could be a 3 or 4 hour long podcast.
Maybe not a podcast, just us, just chatting.
where are you drafting Zach Morris?
Ben 10. You took Ben 10 in the second round, you idiot.
Ben would take Ben 10 first round, very much his era.
Yes. That's very true, yeah. Like, who's Burke? What are you taking Burke for? Never even heard of him.
What trap door? Oh god.
Sorry, I was late.
This might be the stupidest
to finish as well.
It's all right. Might be the stupidest second half of a podcast we've ever done. I've enjoyed it immensely. For more of this.
No Richmond, Virginia. It's
well,
no Richmond, Virginia.
He's in America, isn't he? So we've got to keep the end up whilst he's there. By the way, Nick's lucky streak is continuing. Spurs are beating Arsenal 3-0. So
it's going very well. Thanks, Nick.
Going very well. Darius is happy. Nick's brought the luck back from LA with him. We'll leave you there. It's been a pleasure, as always, chaps. Darius, good to see you again. I hope we're going to see more from you on BP, because I know you've had a little hiatus because you've been busy with work. Russell, go and check Russell's piece out on the Reed Detmers awful no-hitter. Awful no-hitter, that's a phrase that you shouldn't really be saying. And Tom, very, very nice to see you. A rare appearance. Are you happy to be back?
I am. I had COVID, but I'm back. I've not been gone all this time because of COVID, but I've been ill with COVID, and now I'm back. Well, I'm here for silliness. I'm here for silliness and discovering StatCast webpage for the first time.
There you go. In and of itself.
If you have any recommendations for baseball websites that can tell me things, that'd be great. Send them.
Yep, there you go. People, send those in. Send in your kids' fictional characters and where they play feature in a baseball field, and send in recommendations for good baseball websites. Fangraphs, heard of it? Chaps, it's been lovely. If anyone wants to follow us on Twitter, we're at @batflips_nerds. On Instagram, @batflipsandnerds. And at our website, www.flipsandnerds.com. It's been really great to see you all again. We'll be back next week. I think we're going to have a couple more interviews. If you haven't already listened to it, go away and listen to my great chat from earlier this week with Simon Rosenblum Larsen from More Than Baseball and the Tampa Bay Rays. It's a really good listen on the plight of minor leaguers. The next couple of interviews are going to be with people who have played in the big leagues. So no more clues than that. One of them has had a lot of excellent viral threads on Twitter if you've been following closely recently, and he should be a really fun guy to chat to. So keep your eyes peeled for that, and we'll see you soon. We'll be back with another main podcast about this time next week. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We are very serious baseball, serious, really, really serious baseball, really serious. We are very serious baseball, serious, really, really serious baseball, really serious.